Yes, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Amen. Bringing in the sheaves. Thank you, sister. Thank you, Brother James. God bless you. God bless each and every one this evening. Oh, we've just gone live there on YouTube as well, so it's good. Today we are, if anybody's watching and they want to ask any questions, have any comments, please. We're getting the system done, but you can type it on Zoom chat. I've got my phone on here and I can see any chats. So if anybody has any comments, anybody wants to say ouch or wow or whatever, please feel free. And at the end as well, if you have any questions, anything which you'd like to say, we'll get ourselves sorted out down the way so we can have people coming on live again and hearing your nice, sweet voice like we used to have. So, let's open our Bibles and get a Bible reading, and we'll share our screen just to show our topic. So that's our thought this evening, by the grace of God, is the power of the shepherd's presence. And where this came from was I was watching a very nice little clip on YouTube. So this one guy who does Bible archaeology and stuff. He's a very nice guy. And he was showing, he used to live among the Bedouins. We mentioned him last week. His dad was a missionary. And then he put this very nice video about shepherds and sheep, about being in Israel now among the Bedouins and how the wolves and the sheep, everything still works the same as in the Bible days. And he was showing the power of just the presence of the shepherd in a simple way. That's where I got the thought from. He showed that the sheep went up over this hill and then the shepherd came on this path and went over the hill. And then the wolf came later, and the wolf came and smelled the sheep and followed. And as soon as it came to the path and it smelled the shepherd had been there, the wolf went straight back into the wilderness. It didn't even take him to see the shepherd. The wolf, the moment it smelt and it knew that the shepherd is among the flock, it completely left the sheep. And I thought, wow, that's the power of the shepherd's presence. And if that can be done in a natural city, what about the Lord? What about the power of the presence of the good shepherd? You know, and I thought, well, maybe we'll take a bit of a thought from that because the prophet speaks of it as well. So let's read from the Bible, Exodus chapter 4. Moses, obviously the prophet shepherd. Let's read from verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto him. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said to Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. May the Lord bless his word. Let's just pray, Lord, for your blessing upon the word. We thank you that prayer has already been made, Lord. We've come unto this place. We want to come unto thee and drink as has been asked, Lord. We desire to eat, Father, this day of the bread that comes from heaven. You know, there's nothing good in any of our mortality in this place. But Father, as we move beyond the veil, we know that all things are possible. So we pray your blessing upon your people that are present, your blessing upon the people that have tuned in, wheresoever they would be. Father, we desire that even the title of this may be a living experience to us. Father, the power of the shepherd's presence. For we need it upon this night. We need it in this day, each and every one of us. So quicken our mortal bodies now from the tiredness of the day. Quicken our minds that, Father, Lord, our souls and our hearts might be open to you. And please help us, Father, we pray. Wash us in your blood. Touch our lips with a coal of fire. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's be seated. So God bless everybody who's joined in online. May the Lord richly bless you as well. We're looking at the power of the shepherd's presence. And we've just read from Exodus chapter 4. And so we can do that. Okay. So the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? Yeah, it seems like it's disconnecting and connecting. He says, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it to the ground. And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. Now, that's a really, really interesting thing. You know, so he throws this rod on the ground. It becomes a serpent. He picks it up again. It becomes a rod once again. What is the Lord trying to show in this symbol of doing this? Now, why would this rod become a serpent? Now, God doesn't do things just for nothing. Whenever something happens, there's always a reason for it. Why did it turn into a serpent? Why did it turn back into a rod when Moses did it? So the prophet mentions this and explains in the message, the great servant Moses. He says, now, what was that stick? That's what you're going to speak on. What was that stick? It wasn't an ordinary stick anymore, for it was the judgment rod of the Almighty God. So coming into the presence of the great shepherd, because you know that he is Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. That is the presence that Moses came into. He came into the presence of the great shepherd. And when he now came into the presence of the Lord, he's had this rod for years, maybe for 40 years. He's been just using it to look after his sheep, you know, whatever it is, an almond rod from an almond tree, whatever. And then he's comes into the presence of the Lord and something happens to his rod. When he puts this rod down in the presence of the Lord, it's transformed. There's a supernatural takes place. It becomes a serpent. He picks it up. It becomes natural once again. And then that rod now becomes the judgment rod of the Lord. So wherever Moses goes now, he goes into Egypt. The Lord says, go and tell Pharaoh. You don't let the people go. The waters will become blood. He goes. Pharaoh doesn't listen. He smites the Nile with that rod, and it turns into blood. And when it's time now for the flies to come, Moses stretches the rod to the heaven, and the flies come. So each of the plagues came as a judgment. So that rod represented judgment. I know there are things going on. And I don't know. Last week it was fine. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, the one that's there. We'll bring another one next time. Okay, so it was the judgment rod of God. So there's something about that. Brother Ram goes on to say now, what did that symbolize? He says the cross. Now, if you think of the picture I put there, which is the brazen serpent. Now, the brazen serpent, and the people were bitten by the serpents and they were dying. They'd sinned against God. The Lord said, make a brazen serpent, a serpent of brass. Brass speaks of judgment, divine judgment. And the serpent speaks of what? The serpent speaks of sin that has already been judged. Because the serpent wasn't a serpent at first. He was upright. He could talk. But when he was judged, he was turned into that form. So when you see the symbol of a serpent, it speaks of sin that's already been judged. Now, that's already been judged, and it's brass, which is divine judgment. And he says, put this on a pole. So they take a pole in the wilderness, they put the brazen serpent, and anybody who looks, they live. So it was a look and live. So there was some, and then Jesus said, as Moses raised the serpent in the wilderness, so must I, the Son of Man, be lifted up. So it was a type of Christ on the cross. So the prophet saying, even Moses' rod typed the cross. He says, how would it symbolize the cross? Because naturally it was wood, but as soon as it came into the presence of the Lord, it was turned into a serpent. You know, it spoke of judgment. Yeah, so this is speaking of what Christ went through on the cross. He was hung on the wood, on the natural, and he was judged for us. Yeah, so the cross becomes the Jehovah's judgment rod. That's where judgment was meted out on our sins. And if a person doesn't repent, they'll have to pay for their own sins themselves. So he says it symbolizes the cross. And then he takes different scriptures and stuff. But I thought I had a scripture there. But yeah, he says, or in the spiritual, it was a serpent. Now, Jesus said, speaking about himself, you know, how he needed to be lifted up. I think that's in John chapter 3. The prophet says, so Christ then was sin already judged. Sin's already been judged. Now, there's no reason for you and I tonight to be judged for our sin because sin has already been judged. You know, the serpent has already been on the pole. The fullness of judgment has been meted out. And there's no reason for us to be judged. So Moses now, when you take it into the type the prophet's speaking about, he says, Moses goes into the presence of the Lord and the Lord says, I am going to execute judgment on the gods of Egypt. So imagine these demon powers, these powers and principalities that were bringing oppression upon Israel, you know, slaughtering their children and oppressing them and all that kind of stuff. The Lord said, time has come now for me to judge them. I'm going to judge the gods of Egypt, all these things that these people worship. And Moses goes down into Egypt, and one by one, each of those plagues was aimed at one of those gods, because they worshiped the god of the Nile. So the Nile becomes blood. They worshiped the god who was a frog. The place gets filled with frogs. And the big one they worshiped was Ra, whatever, the sun. And the sun goes dark for this. So every one of those judgments, you know, we don't understand it much because it's not our dispensation. But the people that were there at that time, they would understand that, yay, yay, yay. One by one, each of these gods is being shown to be powerless. Every time this man Moses lifts up that judgment rod, our gods are powerless. There's nothing our gods can do. And his God reveals himself in judgment. And the whole land, maybe there's locusts, the whole land, there's lice, there's lightning, there's fire goes through. It was a serious, serious thing that they were going through. But where did this start? It had to start at the burning bush. Moses, though, like we said last week, though he had born into him, because every man that God calls, every woman, to do something in this life for him, the attributes are born in you. God has to put the equipment inside of a person. Yeah, so Moses was born with this attributes to be the shepherd prophet of the age. Yeah. But all the 40 years that he's out in the wilderness, all that he's doing, he is living the life of a shepherd. He's just an ordinary shepherd. Yeah, and that's an ordinary rod. And he's just using it to judge a wolf once and again and a fox, whatever that he's doing. But it took the burning bush experience when he came and presented himself into the presence of the great shepherd. All of a sudden, a whole new dimension was activated inside of Moses, and all of the attributes that he had to now be a prophet shepherd, to lead the flock out of Egypt, to bring them into the sheepfold of the promised land, that was activated in the presence of the burning bush. As similarly, when he brought his judgment, what was a natural rod, and he brings it into that presence of the great shepherd, it now becomes something in the hands of God. It now becomes a supernatural something. It becomes the judgment rod of God. Yeah, and there's something really, really about this, because every single one of us, whatever calling that we call to, yeah, we have potential inside of us. Like every father is called to be a shepherd father, like we said last week. But we can go for years just being a father and not being a shepherd father, because we don't come into his presence. Because it's the presence of the shepherd. When Moses came into the presence of the great shepherd, all of the gifts inside of Moses to become a shepherd under the great shepherd activated now. Now there's a whole realm that opened up to him. Now supernatural things could take place. He could do things, Moses as the prophet, so far beyond what he could have just done as, you know, the man who was herding Jethro's sheep there in the wilderness. And then each of the people you see on the screen there, it was the same thing. You know, when David came to the battleground that day, he was a shepherd. He had been looking after his father's sheep. But when he came to the battlefield that day, something was different. Yeah. Now he wasn't just David the shepherd boy. He'd been in the presence of the great shepherd, and he came anointed with the presence of the great shepherd, the oil of the Holy Ghost really upon him to the battlefield. And now what he was using before just as a natural sling now became something in the hands of God that could do mighty things, that could bring judgment on the enemies of Israel. That's something which had been tormenting them for 40 days. Yeah. All of a sudden now, when a young man comes clothed in the presence of the great shepherd, having spent time, he's had a fresh experience with God. He's coming now. He comes onto the battlefield. For 40 days, we've said it before, Israel was on the back foot. The devil was dictating the terms. Goliath was mocking them, and, well, how your God is weak and all these kind of things. And all of the boys that were there, the other sons of Jesse, they all had the potential. But they were all just natural soldiers. They were just all just living a natural kind of a life. But because David had been in the presence of the great shepherd, when he came to the battlefield, now the presence of the shepherd came onto the battlefield. For the first time in the battle, Jehovah Ra himself came on the battlefield. And when he comes on the battlefield, things change. Now the initiative changed. Because remember, the first principle of war is seize the, or second principle, seize the initiative. You can never win a battle on the back foot. Now, when the devil's on your case, when the devil's giving you a hard time, tempting you and condemning you and all those kind of things, now you can defend yourself for quite some time, but you can never win a battle like that. Now, things have got to turn. You've got to get to the stage. You take the initiative now. So when David came now, clothed now in the spiritual garments of Jehovah, the shepherd, he came on the battlefield. Now the initiative changed. Now, for the first time, the enemy started to feel fear. Israel had started to feel fear. And now the Lord used not just David, the shepherd, but he was the shepherd king of Israel. Another dimension opened up as an experience, and bah, down comes Goliath, judgment upon the enemies of the Lord. And the rest of the children of Israel, now they take fresh courage. And now they're on the front foot. They pursue the Philistines. They destroy those Philistines. It was a great thing. And all David had to do was put that little slingshot in the hands of the Lord. And the Lord could use it to do great things. He had used it as a natural shepherd. Now the Lord used it as a shepherd of Israel, as a shepherd king. Look at Samson as well, putting things. You know, if you're in the channel of your calling, yeah, God wants to manifest himself in some way. It might be so simple. You might have problems in the home. You don't know how to deal with one of the children. As a natural shepherd, natural father, you're not going to be able to do very much. You're going to come to your limits very quickly. But if you can take your soul and take yourself and bring yourself into the presence of the good shepherd himself and allow his presence to come into that situation, it opens up a completely different dimension of things. You know, you might judge somebody, you might be hard, but you just allow the Lord to come in. And the only one that gets judged really when the Lord comes in is the devil. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You know, it's not really the flesh and blood that is the problem. It's the powers and the principalities and the influences and the darkness that has invaded somebody's life. And you and I in ourselves have no power to control those things. But when his presence comes down, that's when those kind of situations start to change. You know, so you can see this judgment rod now. The moment that Moses, in his calling, breaks into the channel of the burning bush, that judgment rod takes on a completely different dimension. His whole life takes on a completely different dimension. And that's what we all desire. I'm sure you desire that as much as me. I sent that one out today when it comes back on. A man that is fully surrendered to God, Brother Ram says, is omnipotent. Now, if you and I were fully surrendered to God, the devil will never push anybody around that's around us. Now, he'll never push you around or me around when the presence of the shepherd is real inside of our lives. Because the wolf fears the shepherd. You know, the power, look, you look in the prophet was in the prayer lines and the pillar of fire, the great shepherd would come down now over the shepherd prophet of the age. You see where those demons would be crying out to one another, you know, trying to create some unbelief and all that because they realized their time had come. And they would try to bring distractions and try to do all kinds of things to try to break up those kind of meetings. Because when the presence of the shepherd comes down, and you are in his presence, it starts to anoint the gifts that God has given you. You and your calling. God has given us all gifts. He's given us all abilities and talent. Some of the gifts that we're given are common to all of us. We're all given the gift of faith. Yeah. So you know, you might be struggling with faith, trying to overcome a certain thing. You let the presence of the shepherd come into that faith. You put that faith, your heart, into the hands of the Lord. His presence come in there. It's going to activate another dimension of faith. You're going to start believing for things that before you used to struggle to believe because it's his presence that quickens the gift. It's his presence that quickens the attributes. That's why Moses always had those attributes in him to be a great shepherd of Israel, to lead Israel. But he needed it to be quickened. He needed it to come to life. And that really is the way that the difference comes in each and every time. And if you and I were fully surrendered in the hands of God. I like Dwight Moody said that. He said, I realized that a man, he said, somebody came to him and said, Mr. Moody, the world has yet to see what God will do in and through a man who's fully surrendered to God. And Dwight Moody said, when he was a young man, he says, I was determined, I'm going to be that man. And then he says, but God is still trying to find, the world is still waiting to see what God will do through a man who's fully surrendered. Because this mortal flesh, I mean, it's not an easy thing. It is in this world. The only man who ever really saw fully surrendered, only man fully surrendered was Jesus. He was the only one. He was a man fully surrendered in the hands of God. And look what he did. Satan couldn't play around with him an inch. Satan couldn't play around with his sheep an inch. Satan couldn't come near him. You know, if Satan wouldn't come into the vicinity, if Satan would come in, he'd be cast out. Now that is really, really, really what I'm sure we all desire inside of our lives. Because when the presence of the great shepherd is there, it's not easy for anger to be there. It's not easy for fear to be there. It's not easy for all these other, they can't stand in the presence of the great shepherd. No matter what anointing or power Satan wants to bring upon us, it's his presence that paralyzes it. You know, as we surrender ourselves into the hands of the Lord, like David on the battlefield, we start realizing we have authority over all powers and principalities. Jesus said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. But that is just like Moses' rod in the beginning, reading that scripture at first until we bring it into his presence and he quickens it to us is like just having a natural stick. But when that comes into the presence of God, that scripture becomes a judgment rod against the devil. That becomes an offensive weapon because in the whole armor of God, what is the only offensive weapon? The sword, yeah. The word of God. That's the only offense. Everything else is defensive. The breastplate, the helmet, you know, your feet shod with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. But that one that's offensive is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But it's got to be the sword of the Spirit. It's got to be Moses' rod in the hands of Jehovah. That it's not just Moses' hands holding it now, but there's a supernatural anointing when he holds it. And he throws it down, it becomes a serpent, he picks it up, it becomes a rod. Like Samson, when he took that jawbone, there was something beyond just the hands of Samson. Because naturally speaking, you can't take an old jawbone, hit it onto a thick helmet, and it dents a helmet in. It takes another hand. Brahma says, whenever Samson's hand would strike, Jehovah's hand would strike with him. So there was like an anointing, a supernatural anointing. Like when the prophet would take the people by the hand in the prayer lines. In the presence of the great shepherd, something would happen to his hand now. That hand was now a hand he could see and tell exactly the diseases of the people. You know, so you can see that's really the dimension that's needed in whatever it is that we're facing up to. But let's take it a bit further. So Moses goes down now. Now it's going to be judgment. So he comes down. The Lord says, go down to Egypt. I'm going to judge the gods of Egypt. And he brings him and Aaron come. Pharaoh says, show me a sign. Show me a miracle. So Moses gives the rod. Aaron throw it down. Aaron throws it down. It becomes a serpent. Yeah, that's all that he's told to do. Now it says that Jannes and Jambres, the magicians, they threw down their rods and became serpents as well. Hey, now that was a challenge. Now, whenever you stand in your position and you stand in your calling and you stand on your authority, Satan's going to react. He's going to counterattack because he's going to do everything he can to knock the confidence out of you. Now, when the Lord's spoken to you, the Lord's given you initiative again, the Lord's given you some fresh vision, you know, before you've been on the back foot for a long time, but now you start seeing, but hey, something's changing. Faith is starting to rise inside of me. My original vision starting to come back. I'm going to go forward for the Lord. You've got to expect the devil's going to come and meet you face to face because he doesn't want that. Like we always say, Satan hates momentum. He doesn't mind the occasional believer who's like in the spirit once a month. But he doesn't want that sort of a person who's making progress. That when you look back with all your faults and failings, you can see you're not what you were a year ago. And you sure ain't what you were 10 years ago. The Lord is more real. You know who he is more. You know who you are in Christ more. And you know who the devil is more than before. Satan doesn't want that. That's what he's going to fight against. You know, so here, they throw them down. And Moses' rod just becomes one serpent. Now there's two of theirs. Yeah, but Moses knows, stand still and see the salvation of God. The battle is the Lord's. You will not have to fight in this battle. He's freshly anointed. He's freshly commissioned. He's using his gift in the presence of the great shepherd. And it says Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now, there's a real significance in that. It's a very interesting thing to look at because the Egyptians, I think, yeah, there we go. You know, the pharaohs of Egypt, on their crown, they had the serpent. It's called the uraeus. And this was a very, very important symbol. Let me show you what it means. This uraeus is the symbol for the goddess Wajet. I'm sure the guys from school who are studying Egypt, I think Timmy was studying Egypt, no bench. They know the gods of Egypt. Often depicted as a cobra, she is the serpent goddess. It was, in effect, part of Pharaoh's crown. The pharaoh was recognized only by wearing the uraeus, which conveyed legitimacy to the ruler. You take away that serpent, he doesn't have any power anymore. You see, that's what it symbolizes. So that serpent, he might have had still a serpent on his crown, but when those guys threw down their sticks and they became serpents, and then Aaron's rod went and ate up their serpents, what was that testifying of? That God had swallowed up the power of Egypt. All the power that was behind Pharaoh's throne, that gave him the spiritual authority and the dominion to do what he was doing to the children of God. When Moses' judgment rod came on the scene, they were rendered powerless. They were swallowed up. And then Aaron picks it up, and there's one stick left, and there's three snakes have disappeared. Those two serpents were inside. They were completely gone. By the judgment rod, all that power of the enemy, which legitimized who Pharaoh was stripped of him. The moment that the supernatural was done, and that when the shepherd came, and the great shepherd came and manifest himself. Yeah, and you know, you would have thought at that time that Pharaoh might have realized that, I'm in a lot of trouble here. Because this man's just come and stripped me of all of my power and authority. And it took 10 plagues to prove it, but it actually was absolutely the case. Right from that point, Egypt had no power over Israel at all. Absolutely no power. There was nothing Pharaoh could do to Israel and Goshen, nothing he could do to Moses. He could threaten, he could huff and puff and threaten to blow the house down, but he had no power and authority. And the Lord wanted to demonstrate that. And that's why that rod got swallowed up. Now, when it speaks of, and speaking of Jesus on the cross, Paul said, having spoiled principalities and powers. So when did Jesus conquer all these powers and principalities that we fight against? It was on the cross. Amen. Paul says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, speaking of the cross. So Jesus being the judge, on like the judgment rod, he came and he swallowed up all the power of the serpent, because the devil is the serpent. When he died on the cross, Satan lost every speck of authority over the children of God. If your sins are under the blood today, if your confession is in Christ, Satan doesn't have one speck of authority over you. The only power that he can exercise over us is the power of deception. It's deception. He has no actual, legal, legitimate power over any child of God. He doesn't. Now, he's not going to let you know that. So when you stand up, you know, to stand up against him, he's going to bring his two serpents. But it's a bluff. There's no power there. That's why the Bible says all we need to do is resist him. Jesus has already overcome him, conquered him. All that's left for us to do is to resist him. What is to resist? Stand your ground. Say, Satan, you're being stubborn. Get out of here. Then he'll say, I'm not going. He'll put on a brave face. But in his heart, he knows he has no legal right. He has no weapons. He's been stripped of all of his power. All of his authority has been stripped from him. The same as Pharaoh sitting on the throne. He could look all big and regal in the throne, but he could do nothing anymore to the children of Israel. He had no power over them. But it took them time to realize that. And the Lord had to bring these plagues, 10 of them, for them to realize that, that's true. This ruler that tormented us all this time actually has no power over me anymore. I'm actually free. Yeah, but it takes time for that to happen. So that's what Paul said. Now, in John, that's why Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Jesus knew, I'm going to be that brazen serpent. Yeah, I'm going to become the judgment. Judgment's going to come on me. And when I'm judged on the cross, I'm going to swallow up all of the power of the serpent. He says that now the prince of this world is going to be cast out. Yeah? And that's got to be our testimony inside of our lives as well. Yeah, so I think just sometimes we take a little bit of time to realize that all of us, because Satan is very, very effective playing mind games. Now, the greatest battle ever fought is the great battle, because he has access to our minds. He can play a lot of games there. But when you take it back to the supreme authority of the word, and you start saying, what does the word say about this? Wow, you find out that Satan is completely, he's a bee without a sting. He can buzz, he can buzz, he can buzz, and he can think, hey, there's a bee. I mean, I'm quite allergic to bees, so I don't like bees. But he can come and buzz around, but he doesn't have a sting anymore because his sting was sunk into Jesus on the cross. And a bee, especially the African bees back home, when they sting, they leave the sting in you and they die. Yeah, and that's why Paul says, death, where is your sting? You know, the sting went into Jesus on the cross and it stayed there. The serpent bit, and in biting Christ on the cross because he became sin for it, the serpent died. He killed himself. He destroyed himself by crucifying Christ. And he was, his principalities were spoiled. So the prophet says, so Moses goes down there. He waves his stick across the rivers. They turn into blood. He waved them towards the skies. The sun went dark. Everywhere he put that stick before him, it was judgment. Judgment went before the stick because the stick was the judgment rod. When he wanted fleas, he raised his stick, sprinkled some dirt. Fleas came everywhere. Judgment, divine judgment. He brought fire out of heaven, lightning upon the earth, hailstones, everything that killed the cattle, the Egyptians, everything else. God's judgment before Moses. That was a powerful, powerful rod. I mean, that rod. So look what he says. And he says, every man today knows that he can take the name of Jesus Christ. So it's going to show us now that judgment rod to a believer represents the name of Jesus Christ. That's where the supreme authority is. To bring judgment upon the enemy is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says, every man today knows that he can take the name of Jesus Christ and meet any foe at any place, any time, and he will be defeated. Now, you and I think and say, but what about there? You know, I prayed about this, and yeah, I'm still having a hard time with this. And then, well, let's get a little bit further and see. Like we said, Moses had the rod all the time, but it didn't do any good until it came into the presence of the shepherd. Then it became a supernatural something. So without the presence of the shepherd, it's just going to stay a rod. Without the presence of the shepherd there, it's just going to remain a promise. But it's not going to be quickened to you. You're not going to see much of the fulfillment of the promise if it just stays as a natural rod. Moses had to come and get that commission, get himself back into the presence of the great shepherd. And that's when all of these things started to kick in that never kicked in before. So, Brahma says, I've met witch doctors. I've met demons of all sorts. Never seen a time but what they bow to the name of Jesus Christ. He says, I tell you, friends, when the church lost the name and the power of the name of Jesus Christ, they lost it. That's how I put the picture there of Moses with the judgment rod. He'd get tired sometimes. And then Israel were losing the battle down there in the valley against the Amalekites. You know, so we need to keep the power in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to have the name of Jesus Christ. We've got to keep the power in the name of Jesus. We've got to keep the presence of Jesus in his name. Then there's nothing can stand against his name. And that's where we all have a part to play. You know, for him to be able to manifest his name, we need his presence to be there. We need the presence of the shepherd to be in his name. Then the word becomes a judgment rod against whatever that you bring in judgment against. Yeah, and that's what he's saying there. When the church now, the church kept the name. And the church, in fact, and the church has lost the name. They went into Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yeah. But he says, and the power of the name, they lost it. Now, I didn't put it on the slide. He says, when Moses went down to Egypt, if they could ever have got that stick out of his hand, they had him whipped. If only they had realized that If he can just get that stick, maybe when he's sleeping. Aside taking the name of Jesus Christ away from the church, we become powerless. That's the judgment. That's where judgment has been finished for us. That is our place of authority. That is the place we can stand against any power of darkness and not fear when we're standing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be with them. You know, but we've got to gather in his name. And that obviously means a certain kind of a life. Sins are under the blood. You know, worshiping him, approaching him the right way, creating an atmosphere. Then we see what the name of Jesus Christ can really do. He says, and what the stick was in Moses' hand, the name of Jesus Christ is to the born-again church. Amen. Get it away from there and it's gone. Yes, sir. And we all know that. Because you go through stages inside of our lives that we'll be praying in the name of Jesus and we can just feel nothing's happening. You can just, things just aren't moving. You'll be have temptation coming against you and you're trying to stand against, you don't have power and authority against that temptation. Yet you're saying, but I'm a believer. I believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes more than just his name. It takes his presence. Because what is it the wolf fears? Is the presence of the shepherd. That is what Satan fears. It's when his presence comes into his word. Now, once the anointing comes into the word, the anointing comes into your prayer, the anointing comes into our witness, it's a completely different dimension of things. Now it becomes, instead of just a rod, it becomes a serpent that we can pick up and take it back into rodding it. Now we can take authority over those kind of things, you see, but it really does need his name. Now, the prophet said, now, as Moses went with the judgment stick before him, that same stick tonight to the church is Jesus Christ. But listen to how he says it. If those Egyptians could have ever got that little simple stick out of Moses' hand, they would have had him whipped. And when the devil could ever get the deity out of the name of Jesus Christ, he's got the church whipped. And it's so true. It's a simple comment, and we've all experienced it, because me as a man, I'm powerless, just like you are. But when you can get the deity in a believer, things are going to happen. You see, when you have, there's a very good message. It's a great message to listen to called, what's the title? It's called the, give me one second. I was actually listening to part of it. A Personal Experience with God. 1954 July. I'd really recommend saints listen to that. That is a powerful message. When the prophet, he's speaking of Peter and John coming from to the gate beautiful. And they meet the lame man. And the man says, please give me an arm. And this, look, silver and gold have we none. But what we have, we give to you. And he says, they could only give it because they had it. They've just come from this experience. They've been in his presence. They've had a fresh experience with God in Pentecost. Peter, John, and the disciples. So when they come now to this lame man, they have something they can give him. Just as Peter and John, they don't have anything they can give to this man. But they say, such as we have, give we unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And when they used the name of Jesus Christ, there was deity in that name. There was his presence in that name. There was the presence of the great shepherd. Now the wolf is going to fear. Now that serpent is going to be swallowed up. No matter what it is that the person's facing up to, when the name of Jesus, the deity of Jesus Christ is present. Paul says, we do not know how to pray as we ought. We don't know what to pray. He says, but the Holy Ghost, yeah, he quickens us to pray according to the will of God. So even our prayers, we can pray in the name of Jesus Christ. It doesn't go very far if it doesn't have the presence of Jesus Christ there. But when your prayer is quickened and led of the Holy Ghost, and then you pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, now you've got a judgment rod in your hand. Now you can come and say, Satan, I judge you in my house. This darkness that is coming into my house, you have no position here anymore. Because now you have got your judgment rod. You've got something that's been proved. It's already swallowed up the power and principalities of the devil. It's not just you holding it, but you're holding it in the presence of the great shepherd. So you are representing him. You're walking in your calling like Moses did. And something kicks in at that time. And things start to move and things start to happen. But now we know the devil, he holds on as long as he possibly can. That's why sometimes you've got to persevere. You know, the way that these things work. But his presence gives us the assurance that it's going to be done. You know that. Yeah. There's times when you and I, when you spoke about the principles of war and you speak about taking the initiative, there's times when you really are on the back foot in your Christian life. There's times when you can really feel it, that Satan is attacking and he's trying to find that place. He's trying to knock you down and you're taking some blows and you're trying to pray and you're trying to knock things down. Yeah. Get him off your back. You need a fresh experience with the Lord. That's what the prophet is saying. Yeah? The prophet spoke about, I was saying, went to the family who got back from Poland. The prophet says that he says about Elijah coming from Mount Carmel, and he was so tired and worn out, and the devil came and hit him, and he was so nervous, and he goes under the juniper tree. The prophet says, every single one of us needs a juniper tree. You need a place when things just get too much for you. Like Elijah, he went and lay under the juniper tree. Then the angel came down. The prophet says God sent the angel with the softest hands, came and put him to sleep, baked him some cakes on the fire, woke him up, rise and eat. Elijah, the journey is long. Put him back to sleep again, gave him some water, made him eat again. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. And the prophet says, I've got a place like that. He says, when things are not going the way that they should, he says, I've got my cave. It's my juniper tree. He says, I go down there for 2 or 3 days. He says, I get myself shut in and I pray through. Yeah. So you're getting your strength back again. You're getting yourself back into the presence of the great shepherd. You're getting yourself back so that when you're coming on the battle, back to the battlefield, you're coming like David did that day. Not like just like the rest of Israel. Though we're the children of God, but you're on the back foot. You know, Goliath is saying things. You might be answering him back, but you know, there's no authority in what I'm saying. You can just feel it at certain times that this just isn't getting the job done. It's the presence of the shepherd that makes all the difference. That's what it is. You try to read your Bible just by yourself, you'll fall asleep. Yeah. You try, you don't even know what to read. You try to listen to a message. It's like your mind wanders somewhere else. Someone will ask you, what should you listen to? Oh, yeah, I listen to this. Okay, what are the problems? Well, I don't know. I need to go back and look at my notes. That's what people normally say. You know? What just preached on Sunday? I don't really know. I need to go back and look at my notes. It happens. But when his presence is there, yeah, then you listen to something. Now it becomes a judgment rod. Now it's going to give you initiative. Now it's going to turn things around. Whereas before, you were on the back foot. You didn't know what to do. Now you're coming out from there and you are looking to move on. You say, enough is enough. I'm not accepting this situation anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm not accepting it. And it never fails. It never fails. Because that name, remember the prophet went that time to there was the spiritualist and they were having their big camp and somebody said, come and see what these people do. And he went there and now the man would prophesy and the pencil would just stand up itself and write the interpretation. And then they said, we'll show you the great power. And they prayed all these spiritualists and the table raised up into the air. And some people tried to see how they could get it was the power of the devil. And the prophet says, I'm going to go and see. And the prophet went there and says, in the name of the Holy Church, I rebuke you. He says, and the table stayed. They said, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I rebuke you. He said, when I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, he says, the chair fell so hard that it broke its legs. He says, that's what it is. It's the power in the name of Jesus Christ. And to understand that his name is his life, it's his presence. It's his personal dwelling place is where his name is. That is the most vital thing that we need inside of our lives as believers. And we soon run out of resources as believers. Yeah? We spend time, you go to a camp or you spend time with the Lord. Business comes in, school comes in, you know, temptation comes in. It's a war of attrition. You slowly get worn down. And after a while now, we can talk the talk, but we're not really walking the walk. You know, we can feel, I don't have that power and authority anymore. There's no shortcuts. There's no magic way, wave the magic wand. You've just got to get yourself back into his presence. You got to do what the prophet said. You got to go and shut yourself in. I remember Brother Lonnie Jenkins used to say that he said, when I get to those times inside of my life where just things just aren't going the way that they should, he says, I shut myself in my house for 2 or 3 days. And I just stay listening to the word, praying and just getting in the messages. He says, and you get a fresh anointing. You get a fresh experience with God. You get a fresh clothing of the power from on high. Now you God from there, your spiritual vision is clear once again. Your spiritual understanding is clear once again. The battlefield isn't just foggy and misty and a lot of noise and confusion going on, but you know who you are. You know what it is that needs to be done. Yeah. There's no shortcuts in this. Without the presence of the shepherd, we as sheep are very, very helpless. You say, what kind of wolves? Temptation. Yeah, you'll be overcome very easily by temptation. You'll struggle in yourself. Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. That's what it is. We need power. We need spiritual power, which is beyond our own power because we wrestling against a real power. Yeah. And he comes in many ways. He comes with his reasoning power. He comes with his intellectual power. He comes to deceive us in our minds. Or he comes straight in your face in spiritual warfare. Yeah. And he hides himself behind different things. But spiritual warfare is a very, very real thing. Yeah. If God is real, the devil's just as real. And if the presence of the Lord is real, the presence of the devil is just as real. So we're meeting him. That's how the prophet says, you must be called or you'll be defeated because it's a battle. You're going to meet him day by day. And I've realized that more and more. The longer that you go, the more we need his presence. Yeah. And in an age and a day and a time like we're living in, Satan has perfected a system in his Eden to keep us so busy that the amount of time we're giving to really spend time in his presence, it just gets squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. And then you wonder like Samson, where's the strength gone? Where's the glory gone? Then we become like when we started off, the Ephesian church age, where we're still doing the works. We're still standing for the truth. We're still standing for his name. But we don't have what we had in the beginning anymore. We've lost that first love. Jesus said, what is the answer? Go back to your first works. Go back to what you were in the beginning in your heart, first of all. Go back and do what you did. Think when you first became a believer. Now, we used to have our friend, Brother Shepherd Mendipoli. Brother James knows him well. He was such a good brother. And many times I used to drive before work. I used to have my place. We used to go to the Brook Cherith. Brother James knows the place. Little place near the river. We used to go and pray before going to work. Many days I'd meet him. He used to have a bicycle, a mountain bike, and you'd see him. He used to work at the shoe factory. He was a shoe designer, and you'd see him riding his bike, going down towards the place we'd pray, and I'd stop and say, hey, Brother Shep, what's going? He said, no, bro. I just woke up this morning, and things aren't well, and I phoned them at work and said, I'm not coming in. And he'd be getting out there to go and spend the day with the Lord because he wasn't in tune. He could just feel, I'm just getting nowhere here as a believer. And then one day in his presence like that, when you come out, you'll achieve more in the days after that, then you would have tried to chug along for 2 months without his presence. Now you just come out with a divine efficiency. You come out with a divine wisdom. You know, like Solomon, when he has that experience with the Lord and the Lord speaks to him in the dream and that, and then they bring the little child, the baby and the two harlots and that, and the dead baby and the living baby. There was such a manifestation of a gift of wisdom. There was a shepherd's gift. You know, so every single one of us are called to be shepherds, like we said in some way, shepherd mothers, shepherd fathers, shepherd brothers, shepherd sisters. You know, we've all got the potential in us to be able to use these shepherd gifts. But it takes the presence of the shepherd himself in our lives to quicken those shepherd gifts, to make them operate the way that they're supposed to operate. And without his presence, we'll still try to do the things that we do before. but it doesn't have the supernatural aspect to it anymore. Our testifying doesn't have that other dimension that makes all the difference. Our preaching doesn't have that dimension. Our singing doesn't have that dimension. Our prayer doesn't have that specific something that makes prayer real prayer. Our reading the Bible doesn't have that something that makes it the word of God, you know, the daily bread that you're feeding your soul with, you know, the bread that comes down from heaven. So that's why I called it the power of the shepherd's presence. I mean, when you are in his presence, when you lie in your bed at night, you don't have too many worries. But when you're not in his presence, so many worries, so many thoughts, and so many things going through. And then you're waking up in the morning and, hey, I wonder what's going to happen today. Wow. But you spend the time in the shepherd's presence. The wolves don't come near you. It's like there's a buffer between you and temptation. There's a buffer between you and fear. There's a buffer between you and sin. Because it's his presence. It's the presence of the great shepherd. Now, let me finish with that one. So Moses comes down to the Red Sea. I don't think I put it on here. No. Moses comes down to the Red Sea. They're in the line of duty. He is the prophet shepherd. Yeah. Following the leadership of the Lord, he brings them to a situation where there's the Red Sea, the mountains at both sides, and here comes the wolves. The fullness of Pharaoh's army is coming once again. Now, when you are in the line of duty and you are a child of God and you're doing your best to obey him and you get yourself in that kind of a situation, stand still. Because the great shepherd himself, he takes offense with what Satan is trying to do. Because the Lord now, the pillar of fire that went before them by the night, the cloudy pillar by day, it went behind, went from leading them, and it went and stood between them and Pharaoh's army. And you see, what did the prophet say? He says, in Jehovah, the great shepherd of Israel, he looked down through the pillar of fire with angry eyes. And he troubled the chariots of Pharaoh. And the Bible says that. It says they broke their chariot wheels and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. That is what we really, really need. You know, when the devil comes in, it's a great challenge. It's a sickness. It's a temptation. It's a big decision you need to make. Or it's a warfare. The devil comes in like a flood against you. We need the presence of the shepherd to come between us and that temptation. And if you're just given the opportunity, that's what he wants to do. The prophet says, that was a trap. He says it was a trap, a divine trap. God set Pharaoh a trap because God wanted to destroy the enemies of Israel for what they had done. So he had to put the sheep in a place, and Pharaoh thought, they don't have the shepherd there. And then here came the wolves. And the Lord said, this is my way of getting rid of these wolves once and for all. Yeah, but Israel didn't see it like that. They thought everything was going wrong. Everything was going right. Sometimes the Lord will put you in a situation that you are having a hard time. Everything's going against you. Why? He's setting a trap for the devil. He wants you to come to a time the same as Miriam and Moses and Aaron. He wants you to be dancing the other side of the Red Sea saying, where are enemies now? The horse and riders thrown into the sea. But the Lord set a trap. And the trap was to lure the devil. And sometimes the Lord sets a trap. He allows the devil to come against you so he can manifest his power. And then you find, wow, I thought it was going to be a serious thing. But in his presence, there was God has power over this as well. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing when he does those kind of things. You know, so whatever we're going through, he is the answer. The presence of the shepherd himself. And David knew that in Psalm 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in where? He makes me to lie down in pastures green. He leads me by still waters. Yeah. He's saying, look, as long as the presence of the shepherd is with me, even though I come to the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to fear no evil because thou art with me. And in conclusion, I really do believe that is the great need of every single one of us as believers in this age. Sometimes we know a lot more than we experience it. Yeah, and we need sometimes to just update the experience side of things to bring it in line with the knowledge that we have. You know, it's great, the knowledge, because it points us somewhere. You know, Revelation, Scripture, and all that, there's signs pointing us somewhere. The Lord is saying, I'm an ever-present help in a time of trouble. The Scripture saying, call upon me in the time of trouble. Yeah? But you don't want to just be looking at the sign. The sign's pointing us somewhere. We want to follow the destination and come to the destination that the sign is pointing us to. So we experience the thing which the sign is speaking about. Yeah? And us as believers, I believe as we come to prayer meeting special on Friday, it's at Brother Ngoni's house this Friday. We're having our prayer meeting there. Thank you for that, bro. We'll be announcing it tomorrow. But I think this is the key, is to be praying, say, Jesus, you help us. We want more of the presence of the shepherd in our midst. When we have our services, we need more of his presence. When you have our prayer meetings, you want it to be a prayer meeting where the presence of the shepherd is there. You know, when we have our youth, we want to have the presence of the shepherd being there. When we're in our homes, you want more of a reality of the presence of the shepherd there, because it paralyzes so many things. There's so many things that are just knocked on the head automatically when his presence is there, when he's overshadowing. It just paralyzes so much of the power of the devil. That we as believers, when his presence isn't there, we know what it's like. Yeah, then we can start to struggle like the world struggles. We start struggling with the same things that your neighbor struggles with. You have the same atmosphere in your house that the next door neighbors do. The Lord says, no, there should be a difference in Goshen than there's down there in Egypt. Because we've already believed in the one who bore judgment for us. There's no condemnation to us as children of God. So let's seek his presence, saints. I'm really, really thirsty. That song that says, in your presence, that's where I belong. In his presence, that's where I am strong. I want to go to the place, the song says, where the floods of evil cannot reach me. Now to rise up in heavenly places. I want to go to that place where I'm strong in the Lord, because Paul said that. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I have no might myself. You have no might yourself to overcome these things. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. And greater is he that is in me than he that's in any situation that we face up to, no matter what it is. But we need to draw near to him and he'll draw near to us. We need to call upon his name for a fresh clothing of his spirit, for a fresh anointing, for a fresh vision. We want to be like David down there. You know, before he comes to the battlefield, whatever experiences he was having there, so that when we're coming into the crisis, we're coming in different than the rest of the people coming into the crisis. Because we say that this uncircumcised Philistine, hey, who is this devil to come into my house? I'm a believer. That's what David was saying. This uncircumcised Philistine, he's not legally entitled to be on this land. This was given to us by God. This is for the circumcised alone. He has no authority. Therefore, today, the birds will eat his flesh. He had just had a full confidence. Where did that confidence? That's a supernatural confidence. That's a supernatural faith that comes from a fresh supernatural experience, from spending time with the great shepherd himself. Then David could come and show the shepherd's attributes in his calling, his ministry, and deliver the sheep from Goliath because he had been in the presence of the great shepherd. So let's stand, saints. Just as we had come to the prayer meeting on Friday, you know, I was just put it out on the forum today. We don't have a place yet for prayer for Dublin South. If anybody has their house available for that, I think it's Brother George's house is going to be Dublin North for Friday. Brother Ngoni's in Northern Ireland. Then Brother Eli, the Dubé's house is in Balbriggan, Rush, Lusk. And then us, we're going to be up here in Brother Ngoni. So let's be praying for one another. Let's bow our heads. I'm sure you're like me. You're just saying, Lord, I need more of your presence, Lord. I need more of your divine reality. I need more deity in the name of Jesus Christ in my life. I need more deity in my prayer life. I need more deity in my Bible reading. I need more deity when I'm listening to the messages. I need more deity when dealing with my children, with my family. I need more deity when testifying to people. I need more deity in every aspect of my life, because Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. We need to be drawing deity from the presence of the great shepherd. And that'll quicken all the shepherd's attributes in us. And then now the rod and staff will work in our hands. Then when we take the word and use it as a judgment rod against the powers and principalities, there's a divine result. There's a quickening power. It brings an immediate change in situations. Then we're getting on our knees on Friday in prayer and we're calling upon the name of the Lord. We come on Sunday with fresh testimonies, fresh experiences from the presence of God. Now, the La Fontaines used to sing that song. I think it was, I can't remember that one. You hear me quote it sometimes. Lord, I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday has gone. And Lord, if you'll give me a brand new touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. If that's your desire, why not raise your hand this evening? And just in your heart, just say, oh Lord, Lord, more and more and more of Jesus and less of me. Lord, I just want to come to the altar. I want to lay my heart there and say, oh Lord, Father, update yourself in my experience. Lord, I want you to raise yourself out of history, Lord, once again for me and reveal yourself as the great I am. Lord, you've done it in the past. I know you desire to do it again because you are Jehovah and you love to reveal yourself. Oh, Father, we, Lord, raise our hands and surrender to you this evening, Lord, because that is our testimony and that is our desire. It's more and more of Jesus. Lord, even the words of that song, nearer, my God, to thee, even though it be a cross that raises me. Whatever that it would be, Lord, Father, even if we have to judge some of these other aspects of our life that are unnecessary, so that, Lord, we just come back and hide in your shadow, Lord, and just come back to seek for refuge in the secret place of the Most High. Do what it is that needs to be done, Lord, to bring us back to the reality of a living experience in the presence of the great shepherd himself. Because, Lord, we as fathers, we testify, we cannot be the right kind of fathers without your presence, Lord. Without you, we as mothers, Lord, we just cannot be in this age what we're supposed to be without your presence. Lord, as brothers, as sisters, as young people, as children, with all the temptation and the distractions and the attractions, Father, we need the reality of your presence. So we pray for all your people that are here tonight. We pray for all the hands that are raised. We pray for all them that have tuned in. Father, we want to pray for this weekend. How we pray as we'd gather for these cottage prayer meetings, Lord, that you'd meet us in a wonderful way. That, Father, as you shut us in those homes with yourself, Father, that you may have a fresh experience with the living God. That, Father, the power of transformation may work, Father, in those places, Lord. And as we'd pray, may, Father, you quicken us and lead us and guide us to pray according unto your will. And Father, upon this night, even as we take the judgment rod of the name of Jesus, we bring it against every power and every principality of darkness that would be working in the lives of your children. And we rebuke him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we take our legal, God-given word authority over every power of the enemy at this time, whatever it would be, and just said, Lord, glorify your name. Father, drive out every work of the enemy. And Father, establish yourself in a fresh and real way in the lives and experiences of each and every one of your people at this time. That as we'd come out of this time and move into our new church, we'll say, surely the Lord has been good to us in this season that you've shut us in like this. Father, bless each of your people. Bless Brother James for the song leading. Bless, Father, all the technical issues we're having. You continue to lead us and guide us and prepare us for the weekend as we'd gather in your name. Keep us now, we pray, Father. Watch over us as we return home. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's ask Brother James to lead us in one song. If anybody does have any questions or any comments, saints, please feel free to post them onto Zoom now, and then we can answer them from there. But let's ask Brother James to lead us in one song.
Let's sing 2-2-2-2-2. We would have sing in the presence of the Lord, but I don't know that song very well, so forgive me, Pastor.
No problem.
Take the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Ooh, take the name of Jesus. 2-2-2. A flat. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take heed then where you go. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of faith and joy of heaven, precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of faith and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus, ever. He's a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, pray that holy name in prayer. Oh, precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of faith and joy of heaven. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of faith and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus. Oh, it thrills our souls with joy. When his loving arms receive us, and his songs our tongues implore. Oh, yes, precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of faith and joy of heaven. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of faith and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet. King of kings in heaven, who crown him when our journey is complete. Oh, yes, precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of faith and joy of heaven, precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of faith and joy of heaven. Let's sing 51. That's more my favorite song. I'm sorry. Down at the cross, A flat. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Oh, down where for cleansing from sin I cried. Dear to my heart was the blood up. Oh, yes, glory to his. Oh, glory, glory. Oh, yes, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood up. I'm singing glory to his name. Oh, yes, I am so wondrously saved from. Oh, Jesus, so sweetly abide within. There
cross where to lay. Oh Lord, glory to His. Oh glory, glory. Oh glory to His name. There to my heart was a blood up. I'm singing glory to His name. Oh yes, oh precious fountain that saved from sin. Hallelujah. So glad I have entered in. There Jesus saved me and came. Oh glory to His. Oh glory, glory, glory. My Lord, glory to His name. Oh, hit my heart was the blood up. I'm singing glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Oh, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunging today be made calm and singing glory to Him. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. Hallelujah. There to my heart was a blood up. Still singing glory to His name.
Amen. Let's maybe sing maybe two.
After maybe Daniel could pray first. Okay, yeah.
Amen. Now is it 2:15? Sorry. Oh, has been not a gentle savior. 206. 206. Or maybe let's sing Near the Cross.
Yeah.
If. Jesus kept me near the cross, the precious mountain, free to all the healing stream, who flows from Calvary's mouth. Oh, He, the cross, the cross be my glory. Yeah. Oh, till my raptured soul shall be beyond the reef. Oh, yes, near the cross a tree. Oh, love and mercy found. Oh, day, the bright and morning star. My Lordship, it's dim. Oh, in the cross be my glory, yeah. Oh, till my righteous soul shall find grace beyond the reef. When ye the cross, O Lamb of God, brings his sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with his shadows. Oh, yeah, the cross be my glory. Yeah. Hallelujah, till my righteous soul shall find rest beyond the river. When the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting him. Oh yes, till I reach the golden strand. Oh, just beyond the river. Oh, in the cross be my glory. Heaven, oh, till my righteous soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Continue just the fellowship.
Amen.
Lord, have a real experience with you.
Amen.
So we pray you now. May you please leave with us. May you please speak unto us. We thank you. We pray for the new church, the family. That will please keep us communing with you as we wait for the new.
Amen.
We pray that you'll continue to work in our lives. Help us not to fall short.
Lord. That's right.
You have, help us to walk steadfast in the face of sacrifice. We thank you. We pray all these things.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, though. Amen. Saints. Thank you very much to everyone. Thank you, sister, for the keyboard as well. We do appreciate that. I'll just give that once again, that message 540724. If you don't have any message you're listening to, it's called a personal experience with God. I'm sure when you start listening to it, you'll understand what I'm saying. It is a really anointed, powerful message from the beginning. Yeah, and the prophet speaks of just different things inside of there. And it just like Daniel was praying there, you listen to those kind of things, we can get an amnesia. The prophet speaks of spiritual amnesia. We forget. You're like, you know, your eye, your vision gets dim. You become like John in prison and you forget who you are, who Jesus is. And then the Lord brings the eye salve of the word. And he comes and opens up your spiritual sight and you come back to yourself and you start seeing things the way you did. And you say, wow, I remember the times I used to have such glorious time in his presence. And then you ask yourself, but when is the last time I had that quality time with the Lord? That time with the Lord that when I came from there, something had changed. I took something with me from that and I wasn't the same. Now that is the great, great way to overcome whatever the conditions of the age are. So I'd really recommend the message. If no one's listening to a message, it's a great, great blessing. And sorry, just to clarify that, so on Friday, it'll be Dublin North is Brother George's house. That's where the house meeting is. Then up here is Brother Ngoni's house. Belbriggan is the Dube's house. And then Brother Joel and Sister Chosoma's house in Carla. That's where the Carla Kildare. So just one more. If you don't find a place for Dublin South, then saints can either go to Brother George or they can go to Belbriggan or wherever they want to go. So let's keep it in prayer and we look forward to meeting you on Friday. So God bless you, saints. Let's greet one another and take the name of Jesus with you. God bless you.